good to see everybody this morning. And sure appreciate the privilege of being in the house of God. And be able to take time to look at the Word of God and get help for our heart. And I thank God for doing that. Brother Hip, if you would, I'd appreciate if you pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the lesson.
Lord God, I do thank you, God, for the opportunity this evening. I thank you, God, for your goodness, Lord. I pray that you help the teacher this morning and blessing, Lord God, and gives to us what you gave to him. And help us, God, to apply to our lives, not just be hearers, but doers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I ask you to pray for me. I had a few days didn't feel too well this week. Had some trouble with my eyes. It's a little hard to get focused here sometimes, so be patient. But we'll go back to Hebrews 11, pick up where we left off last week. And we'll look at verse 7. And we'll start there, and then we'll probably go over into Genesis 6 and look at some things. But the Bible says, "And by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith." We're going to look this morning at Noah and some things we can learn about Noah. And really, before I get into the lesson, I just jotted down a few things. Some things about Noah. And for one thing that struck me first is Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I thank God for grace this morning, don't you? Noah's no different than us. He certainly didn't have favor with God because of any works he ever did or any righteousness of his own. He was just like us. By faith, he believed God. And he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I thank God for grace. It's because of God's grace, Brother Joe, that we're saved. I thank him for that. It's by his grace that we receive his help and blessings. Every day in our life as we go through this walk trying to live for him. Many of us go to work. I don't do that anymore. I'm disabled now, but you get up and you go to work. I mean, you deal with your family. You come to the house of God. I mean, and it's all centered around those things. And I thank God for his grace that gives us help. If not for God, I don't know what I'd do. Because that's where our strength lies. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you'll find that in Genesis 6 and verse 8. And just a little side note here, Brother Joe. 8 is the number of new beginning. And so I thank God for that. That when we receive the grace of God in salvation, it is a new beginning, Brother Todd. The Bible says we're raised in newness of life. And I've said many times, and I stand on this, if you've never been changed, you've never been saved. Because it is a new beginning. God changes your attitudes. He gives you the desires of your heart that's toward him. God puts in you the desire to want to follow him and read the word of God and to pray and to fellowship with God's people and to love the church. And all these things becomes new and becomes things that are contrary to the old life. When you were bound in sin, I can honestly say, Brother Hip, when I was lost, I didn't care anything about the church. I didn't care anything about the Word of God. Not only did I not ever read it, I mean, it didn't mean nothing to me. It really didn't. Somebody could tell me what the Word of God said. It didn't mean nothing to me. It had no value to me in my heart. God gave that to me by grace when He saved me. But it is a new beginning. And in Genesis 6:9, there's two things that's mentioned. Noah says was a just man. I would like to say this. If you've ever been touched by the grace of God, I believe God will give you the strength and the ability to be just and right in all your dealings. I believe God will enable you to do that, Brother Joe. It goes along, well, I could just say it, with that change. There's a lot of things I did as a lost man that I don't do now. I'm here this morning in the house of God. I'm thankful for it. I really am. I appreciate the privilege of being. I count it a great privilege to be in here in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. I really do. And it's not a thing when I got saved that now I get up on Sunday morning and I think, oh man, I'm supposed to be a Christian now. I got to go to church. No. No, I get up on Sunday morning excited. I want to come to the house of God. That's a desire God's gave me by His grace when He saved me. I enjoy being in the house of God. I enjoy coming and being around you, the people of God, and fellowshipping. Coming and hearing the teacher teach a class and hear the man of God preach the word of God to our heart, to be able to come up and bow our unworthy heads together in fellowship and in prayer over our needs and our desires. There's a lot of things that are centered around the house of God that I enjoy, Brother Joe. I appreciate it this morning, and it's all because of His grace. But the Bible also said over there that He was perfect in His generations. And I looked on some things concerning that to try to see exactly what that was talking about. And if you'll turn over to Genesis 6, I just want to make a point on something. When we get over there, well, actually, Genesis 5. And if you'll look at the last half dozen or so verses there, and you'll start at verse 32 and sort of work backwards. There you had Noah, and of course his daddy was Lamech. His granddaddy, of course, was Methuselah. And then his great-granddaddy, well, did I get that right? Yeah, and his great-great-granddaddy was Enoch. He had a godly line there, Brother Joe. As far as the males of his family. He was perfect in his generations. He was a part of a line, a part of a family, a part of a group of generation after generation that had been passed down that had not yet forsaken the ways of God. I believe he knew the ways of God. I believe he'd been taught by his fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers the things of God and what was expected. No doubt, the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. I mean, God put it in his heart. No doubt at some point in his life to stand up and stand for God and preach righteousness, to preach what thus saith the Lord, to preach what was right. And I found it interesting that it says he was a preacher of righteousness because really if any man stands up and is called to preach and he preaches this book, sooner or later it comes back to righteousness in some form or another. We are saved to be over time be made like Christ. And Christ is pure righteousness. There's no, like I said earlier, there's no such thing as being saved and not being changed. The day you get saved, God starts working on you and teaching you the ways of righteousness and putting those things in your heart to want to do that what pleases the Lord. And I thank God for that. And those are just a few simple things that I saw just right off the top of my head about Noah. If you want to turn back to Hebrews 11, we're going to go over some of this and sort of break this verse down. And first it says, and by faith, Noah, being warned of God. Now, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. By faith, Noah. It's like we've said before in earlier classes since we started going through this. Faith is just simply believing God. That's what it is. God tells you to do something, and by faith you just trust Him and you obey. God tells us something's going to happen, or He's going to do this, and by faith we just believe it. And as Joe pointed out when he started this chapter, that thing's not seen. You know, faith is something that we walk by, not by sight. That's what the Bible says. There's a lot of things I know is going to happen. That's going to come about one day that I can't see now with these naked eyes, with these human eyes. I know the Lord says He's going to come back. Amen? Now I don't see Him up there in the skies yet, but I know by faith He's coming. He's coming for His people, for us, one day. What a great blessing that we can hold to that by faith. By faith, I know that God's going to judge the wicked world one day. Now, we look out across this world nowadays, and no doubt, and I've done it, you've probably done it, we see these people just living wickedly and oppressing their fellow mankind and living in sin. And it seems like in the things of the world anyway, they prosper.
Yeah.
It seems like when you look around, those are the people that's living in the big fancy mansion on the hill. Those are the people that's, you know, on the most, the richest people in the world is. Or those are the famous politicians that seem to have all the power and all the persuasion over the things that's going on in this world. But I thank God, God's still in control. That's just an illusion. God is in control, and those things are things that one day when we all die, we're not going to take any of that with us. That stuff is an illusion. It's a trick. It has no real eternal value. And many a times I've sat and thought to myself, I'm glad that my life's path did not ever lead to that before I got saved. No doubt I might have been hindered. I mean, a lot of people that seems to come to. I'm not God. I can't judge nobody's heart, Brother Joe. But as we look out around and look at these people, I think we would all agree as Christians, it'd be hard to convince us that those people are saved. It really would. And there are a lot of them that would profess to be saved. But at least as far as what I can see, and like I said, I'm not God, but I don't see no real fruit in their life. I see the love of money and the love of power. Yeah, they may go out here and do some things that would be considered kindness. But it's not by faith. I've used this before. You may have a neighbor, maybe they've had a hard time, been out of work. You want to be a blessing to them. You might take some groceries over there to them. If you do that for any other reason but that God be glorified, then that's selfishness. If you're doing it to be patted on the back or for the neighborhood to think well of you, or to get your name out there in the public where maybe you could get invited to join some social club or something because you're this great humanitarian, you're doing that to be self-serving. That's right. And I'm going to tell you what, this is why I look at it. It's between you and the Lord. I believe it's sin. The act itself of kindness, there's nothing wrong with. But the motive you do it with, the motive you do it with is the dividing line. And sometimes even an act that in and of itself is a kind act could still be sin because you're doing it for the wrong motive. You're trying to get the glory instead of God. And I don't believe God looks kindly on glory stealers. I really don't. But by faith, as I mentioned before, it's just simply believing God. But by faith, Noah reached his family. Now, I got thinking about that. And he said to him and his three sons and their wives, they were all saved. No doubt, Noah told them what God said and they believed. But it just made me think, are we doing all we can? Not just to reach our family, but to reach our neighborhoods, to reach all the lost. I know I can't go over to Africa, I can't go to Asia, or I can't go to Europe, or I can't go to a lot of places, but we can support missionaries that's going there. And I thank God this church is good to support missionaries and men of God. I thank God for that. We're really not a very large congregation, and I really wouldn't dare to say any of us in here is in the category of Bill Gates. It ain't like any of us in here's got money just to pitch around and not miss it. I'd say it'd be pretty safe to say that any of us in here, if we really give like we should, we're sacrificing something. We could spend it on ourselves. And I thank God for putting that in the people of God's heart here, because it is important. I think about this whole account and the ark and everything is really, it's a picture in a way of the rapture. The judgment of God is getting ready to drop on this wicked world here in the time of Noah. God's severe judgment's coming. Said he's going to wipe out the life of every creature upon the land. But yet these were saved. And I can't help but think how that ark is a picture of Christ. And how one day, Brother Joe, the Lord's going to rapture His people out before the wrath of God really hits this world. No doubt I think we can see the judgment of God on this world and on our country. I can think, and I'm not really that old. I mean, I'm in my 50s. And I can think back 30, 40 years ago, and things are just worse nowadays. They really are. There just seems to be more wickedness. There seems to be more people has no respect for the house of God or for God, for the people of God. It just seems like there's more and more people that you come in contact with has no desire to hear about God or the gospel. And it seems like when I was a young boy, people were just more interested in that. I mean, I knew people that didn't even go to church and wouldn't even profess to be saved, that morally live better lives probably than a lot of folks nowadays that profess to be a Christian. And I can see it's waxing worse and worse as the Bible said it would. And now I can see the judgment on our country. No doubt we, and Brother Hyde said it preaching, we've heard other people say it and I agree with it. I believe that the man that's in the White House right there right now is there because God gave him to us. Amen. The majority of the people in this country is lost, they're wicked, and that kind of leader is what they want, and God said, fine, I'll give you what you want. Now, God's people are still protected. We're still under the loving hand of God, Brother Joe. And I realize that we may, before we get out here, reach a lot of persecution. But it's really not that bad in this country yet, if you be honest. Not like it is in other places in the world. May get that way, but God's been awful merciful to us, His people. But I often have thought to myself, the split second after the rapture, I wouldn't want to be here. Because I really wouldn't. I believe the hammer of judgment's going to drop on this country. On the whole world. As the tribulation rolls in. But by faith, he tried to reach his family, and he did. And I thank God for that. You know, and my question to all of us this morning, I'm not just pointing a finger at you, pointing a finger at me. What are we doing to reach our family and our neighbors? There's people out there need to be saved. And you know, a lot of times it ain't what we say, it's how we live in front of them.
Amen.
By faith and with God's help. You know, Noah was, no doubt was a preacher of righteousness. I believe he lived righteous best he could by God's grace. You know, no doubt they saw something different in Noah. You know, do they see that in us? But, and then if you go on, it said, and being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. And I've already touched on that. There's a lot of things we don't see yet, but we know it's coming. And I've already sort of touched on that. You look back over Genesis 6:13. I'd like to read that. Like I said, if you can keep your finger in them two places, we'll not be going much nowhere else. But that verse 13 in Genesis 6 said, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth was filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God told Noah. He warned him. And you know, we've been warned. You know, I can't stand and say that, you know, God appeared in a vision or something silly like that to me and told me that, but he tells me right here.
Sure did.
This book tells us all we need to know. And this book covers a whole lot of territory as far as the last days. And I've never read anything in here, Brother Robert, never, that God said was going to happen in the last days and ain't happened or we can see it's coming.
Yeah.
God's faithful. God cannot lie. And I thank God for His warning, don't you? I'm glad God's merciful to these people. I really am. There's been times in my life, and I just want to say this, and Skindle maybe a little way from Noah, but there's been times in my life since I've been saved that I found myself maybe getting ready to go down a path I shouldn't go. That was going to get me out of the will of God. And I thank God the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. and put a roadblock in front of me and wouldn't allow me to go down that way. I have no idea. It'd probably scare me to death if I knew the troubles and the problems I would have caused myself if I would have went down that road instead of by faith obeying God. I think that's a lot of just what this whole chapter is talking about. It gives all kinds of examples, all kinds of people. But it keeps coming back to the same thing. Are you going to believe God? Are we going to act by faith? And I've never went wrong acting by faith, Brother Robert. I've never went wrong obeying the Scripture and obeying what God says. Never. Never. And I know in my heart I never will. It's when I try to put my own hands on it, when I try to take control of it, when I try to figure it out through human reasoning, that I get in a mess and I start down the wrong way and have to turn around and go back and pick back up where I started. You know, usually if you get out of the will of God and you get off that road, you'll have to go back where you lost it and start back over. I heard a man one time, I can't remember who he was. He was preaching. But I remember the thought. He said, it's almost like if you had a little board here and here's your life. And we all know we've all had times we've failed, we've fallen short, we've gotten a little out of the will of God, and we've missed the mark. Amen. Would you not say that's true? We'd all have to say that if we'd be honest. And it's like when we get to heaven one day, it'd be two little thumbtacks there, and one would say, this is where you are, but this is where you could have been. You know, and I'll be honest with you, class. I look back. I've been saved now for going on 19 years. And I know I'm not where I could have been. Amen. I'm a lot further down the road than I was when I got saved. But I'm still not where I could have been. I'm still not all I could have been for the Lord. But I just appreciate God's hand in our life. I mean, he warned Noah. Wasn't that wonderful? I mean, if he wouldn't have warned Noah, he'd have drowned with all the rest of them. But he found grace in the eyes of God, and God made provision for him. And like I said, I believe we're coming close. God's going to really, really put the judgment of God on this world soon. But thank God he's merciful that we're going to go out in Christ in the rapture, and we're not going to have to be here. You know, he promised to us that we wouldn't face his wrath. Amen. I thank God for his grace for that. We'll go back to verse 7. Well, it said he moved with fear. And I just thought to myself, are we going to move? We see the truth. We know what's coming. Just like Noah knew the judgment of God was coming. Are we going to move? And like I said, I just thought that to myself. Am I going to do all I can to move by faith in fear? And I do fear. I mean, probably all of y'all in here know this. But my boy, he's made professions in the past. Personally, I have no confidence in it. I don't believe he's ever been saved. And I fear for him. I do. I fear for him. If the rapture was to come this morning, and God didn't move on him. I assume he's getting ready to go to work this morning. God didn't move on him before the rapture, where he's at, and save him. I'd go out of here, and that'd be it. That'd be it. And I fear for him, Brother Robert. I do, honestly. I fear for him. There's times I've been sitting at the house, and I'm just sitting weeping for him. That's my boy. I love him. I mean, I know a lot of other lost people, and I don't want to see that happen to them either. But it's something about when somebody's that close to you, the burden seems to be increased. And you know, I've asked myself many times, Lord, I mean, or I've asked the Lord, you know, is there something I'm not doing? Is there something else I could do? Could I do it more often? Could I do it in a different way? And, you know, I guess it all just comes back. You do all you can, and it's between them and God.
Amen.
But to be moved by fear like that, and there is that element of fear. If you have loved ones, we all do in here, have loved ones, no doubt's lost. And that ought to raise fear in us for them, if they don't know God. I mean, when, I believe the Bible teaches, folks, when God raptures His church out, hey, they've heard. They've heard preaching. They've heard the gospel. They've heard the truth. There'll be no hope for them. There'll be no hope for them. There's going to be no, they'll get another chance during tribulation, no. I mean, if it was the past way and die this morning, there's no hope for them. None. And but to move with fear. But I thought about that. But he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world. And I thought about that. Let me go back to this. I do want to give you a couple examples of something. People that didn't move with fear. And I want you to think about what the results was. Adam and Eve. They didn't obey God. The shape this world's in now is because of the fall in the garden. Is that right?
Yeah.
They didn't obey God. Adam and Eve didn't. Pharaoh didn't. Pharaoh hardened his heart against God. And you see what happened to Pharaoh? He paid the dear price. Pharaoh did not move with fear when he got the warning from God. Got the warning from God's man. Moses told him. He was told the truth. And he hardened his heart against God. Pharaoh paid the ultimate price. No doubt he's in hell now. In torment. Thought about that. Israel in the wilderness. The nation of Israel didn't move with fear and obey God. On several occasions. They grumbled and they complained about what they had to eat. The spies come back with a good report and they refused to go in and take the land. They didn't by faith believe God to give them what He had promised them. And they wound up wandering for 40 years. And only two that come out of Egypt wound up getting to go in the promised land. The rest missed out on the blessing of God because they didn't move with fear and obey God. I thought about Samson. Samson didn't obey God. He knew he wasn't to reveal the secret of his strength. Amen. He went out and he compromised by fellowshipping with the wicked world. That's right. Getting with Delilah. I had the will of God. Never the will of God for him to be with that woman. And look what it cost Samson. And you can go all through the Bible. I have this wrote down. Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot knew the truth. He had walked with the Lord for 3 years, Brother Joe. He knew the truth. He had saw the miracle working power of Christ. He had heard the truth. He had heard the promises. And in the end, he betrayed him. That's right. Paid the ultimate price. Because he didn't go with God. Now, I know the Bible's got a lot to say about Judas Iscariot and these other folks too. But the bottom line is, in the end, they did not act on the light they had and move in faith and obey God. They didn't believe God. And they all paid a heavy, heavy price. Heavy price. But preparing an ark for the saving of his house. And I've already touched on some of that. That just made me think, what are we trying to do to reach the lost? Not just our family. You look at it this way. If you go out there and get the gospel to every creature and see people be saved, they become members of the family of God, and that is our family. That's who's going out in the rapture anyways, the family of God. I realize Noah here, that was his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. And that was what we consider close family. But you think about it, the real family, the eternal family, is the family of God.
Yeah.
That's right. When you go out there, Brother Robert, and tell somebody about the Lord and the need to be saved, you ain't got no idea what God might save them. They'll become your brother or sister in Christ. You very well could be standing before your family, your future family, eternal family. I appreciate the family I've got. Now, many of y'all know, a lot of my natural family I don't have no contact with. But I have my son, I have my daughter, my son-in-law, my granddaughter, and I appreciate that. But that's temporal. That's temporal. You know, Chris is my son-in-law. But one day when we get to heaven, we're just going to be brothers. We're just going to be brothers. Yeah, that's right. I mean, a parent, when you get to heaven, you're just going to be brothers. You know, ain't going to be mom and dad anymore. Cousins just be brothers and sisters. It'll all be the family of God and all be brothers and sisters. And I appreciate that. And I believe a lot of that is the family of God in view here. That's who's going into rapture. And by faith, Noah moved. And he built that ark for the saving of his family. You know, what are we doing for the saving of the family of God? I thought about this. By which he condemned the world. Brother Hip, you ever noticed that lost folks don't care a whole lot about hanging around you? when you living right, you're living in righteousness, you're trying to live for God, and that's what's on your mind and in your heart. And you want to talk about the things of God. Brother Hines testified this before. He testified about he had friends he played ball with. When he got saved, he didn't run them off. He still invited them to come out to his house because he wanted to talk to them. But they found out when they came over to Brother Hines' house after he got saved, he would sit there and go, want to talk about Jesus. He didn't have to run them off. They just quit coming around. It condemned them. It condemned them of what they are. That's why the world hates us, Brother Joe. Because we represent Christ. And they hate Him. And He said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. That's exactly right. And the Lord don't lie. That's why the world is so against us. That's why, and I touched on this a few weeks ago, teaching on Abel. That's why that religious crowd that's never known Christ, it's just religious. That's why they hate us. That's why they get mad when you tell them that this is the perfect inspired word of God in the English language. When you tell them that NIV and that ESV and all them other V's and whatever and all that other mess is, it is not right. That's what makes them mad. Because this is the Word of God. This is Christ. And they hate Him. Those perversions aren't. That's why they coddle up to them and love them. Is that right? There's a lot of things. I mean, you go to tell somebody about the law. I won't hear that. How many times have you heard that? And it won't take long to get mad at you. They'll get mad at you. I mean, they'll get hopping mad. They'll tell you, I don't want to hear that. You know, a lot of them will tell you, say, oh, I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right. I do this, I do that. That's wonderful. That's what Jesus done for you. Because if you're not under the blood, you know, I don't know why I'm getting off on all that, but that's just the truth, Brother Dennis. We're different from them.
Yes, we are.
We're different. We're different. We're different. We should be different.
Yeah.
If you're not different, you know, Bible says examine your own self.
Yes, it does.
Amen. Maybe it's time to check up. You ain't different.
Amen.
I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm not sinless. There's a lot of times I fail God and I have to repent. But I'm not what I used to be. I've ran across people, Brother Joe, Walmart, different places that I knew 25, 30 years ago, 35 years ago. Hadn't saw them in probably that long. What's different? You ain't the same. What happened to you? Jesus happened to me. Can I tell you about Him? It's a blessing. And no doubt Noah and his family was different from the rest of that world. No doubt. I mean, I can only imagine. You know, the Bible speaks in the last days that there are being mockers. I suppose Noah knew a few of those. Oh, yeah. I can only imagine what he heard, you know, as they gathered around out there at the building site while he's working on that ark. And what kind of fool they called him and names they called him, told him how stupid he was. What are you talking about? It's going to rain. What's rain? You know, I can just imagine the range of it. But you know what? The Bible says it's foolishness unto them. Is that right? That's what the Bible says. It's foolishness unto them. That's right. They can't understand. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says that they cannot receive, or they do not receive, the things of the Spirit of God because it's foolishness to them. It says, and they cannot understand it because it's spiritually discerned. They have not the Holy Ghost, folks. They've never been saved, never been born again. And that's why they don't believe. That's why they know nothing about by faith. And that's just the truth. But, and we'll look at this, and it said, and he become heir, back to verse 7, he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I'm glad by faith that Christ clothes us in his righteousness. And I appreciate God doing that. And that's the only way we'd ever be righteous. You know, we might be self-righteous. You know, we might look around and say, oh, I think I'm doing pretty good. But true righteousness comes from Christ by faith. By faith. It's just that simple. You know, the Bible tells us that we're saved by grace through faith. It's just that simple. I mean, God deals with a sinner's heart when you hear the gospel, Brother Robert. And it's revealed to them by the Holy Ghost what they are and what they stand in need of. And by faith, they believe God. By faith. You say that's pretty simple. Yeah, it is. Well, it's not easy, but it's simple. Yeah, and I say it in the sense of this, and I'll close with this. It's not easy because you can't do it yourself. You can't do it for yourself. Amen? I've said this before. By faith we believe Christ, and we're saved. By faith we walk in the will of God and live in righteousness. By faith. Why? Because he promised to do that for us, Brother Joe, when he saved us. By faith we're able to believe that and walk in it and live in it, Brother Robert. Is that right? That's just the truth. And I thank God because he did that for us. He gives us that faith. He gives us that strength. He gives us the knowledge. He gives us the desire. He gives us the ability. Amen. He says it's by the power of God he keeps us.
Amen.
Is that right? The power of God saves us and the power of God keeps us. We're not able to do it in this flesh. But by God's grace and through faith, he does it for us and we just latch on to it and believe it and live by it. And I thank God for that. I thank God it's a work of God. It's a work of God. And by faith, as we go through this 11th chapter, and there's other great examples, and I appreciate that. I've learned a lot looking at some of these folks again. I've read these scriptures over and over. But every time I go back and read them, Sister Linda, it seems like God will show me something I ain't never seen before. Or he'll enable me to see it a little deeper. And it helps me. I'm glad by faith. I'm glad I can trust him, class. Ain't you? I am so glad that I know the promises of God are sure.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And his word is set on heaven. And we can trust that and live by it. And he'll never let us down. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that something's been said has been a help to all of us. God, I pray, God, you'd stir our heart for thee, God. Pray you'd help the man of God now during the 11 o'clock hour. I pray, God, you'd reveal the will of God to him for the service. God, may you show up, God, this morning and meet with your people. May you, God, touch the hearts of sinners in our midst. God, that they might reach out by faith and meet Christ. God, whatever you do for us, we'll certainly thank you, give you all the praise and all the glory for it. For it's in your dear Son's name we do pray and ask these things. Amen.